He's jealous over his way of salvation. And he finishes the chapter by talking about his love. And as I mentioned this morning, this is the first mention in the Old Testament scriptures of God's love for his people. Even though they were chosen through Abraham centuries before, this is the first time God mentions that he loves them. And we can learn a lot from a first mention in Scripture. So we'll start there where we finished last week at verse 25. It says, "When thou shalt beget children and children's children, and ye shall have remained long in the land, and shall corrupt yourselves and make a graven image or the likeness of anything, and shall do evil in the sight of the Lord thy God to provoke him to anger, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day, that ye shall soon utterly perish from off the land whereunto ye go over Jordan to possess it. Ye shall not prolong your days upon it, but shall utterly be destroyed. And the Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and ye shall be left few in number among the heathen, whither the Lord shall lead you. And there ye shall serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. When thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God, and shalt be obedient unto his voice. For the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them. For ask now of the days that are past, which were before thee, since the day that God created man upon the earth, and ask from the one side of heaven unto the other whether there have been any such thing as this great thing is, or hath been heard like it. Did ever people hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire as thou hast heard and live? Or hath God essayed to go and take him a nation from the midst of another nation, by temptations, by signs, and by wonders, and by war, and by a mighty hand, and by a stretched out arm, and by great terrors, according to all that the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes? Unto thee it was showed that thou mightest know that the Lord, he is God. There is none else beside him. Out of heaven he made thee to hear his voice, that he might instruct thee. And upon earth he showed thee his great fire, and thou heardest his words out of the midst of the fire. Because he loved thy fathers, therefore he chose their seed after them, and brought thee out in his sight with his mighty power out of Egypt, to drive out nations from before thee greater and mightier than thou art, to bring thee in, to give thee their land for an inheritance as it is this day. Know therefore this day, and consider it in thine heart that the Lord, he is God in heaven above, and upon the earth beneath there is none else. Thou shalt keep therefore his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee this day, that it may go well with thee, and with thy children after thee, and that thou mayest prolong thy days upon the earth, which the Lord thy God giveth thee forever." So we're going to entitle this, "Because He Loved." Because He Loved. Lord, give us your presence tonight through your precious and powerful word. Use it in our hearts to remind us about the loving and merciful God that we serve. And Lord, in return, may we strive to live an obedient Christian life. So please have your way in this service. Guide us. May you be glorified, and we love you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So notice God is warning them. He's basically prophesying what's going to happen if they turn their back on God, which they did. And these very things occurred, didn't they? They were scattered among the nations. They were reduced in number. And so the first thing we find tonight relative to God's love is that God loves his children enough to chastise them. We often don't connect the two, but God connects the two constantly in his word. I'll give you a couple of examples. Hebrews 12, if you want to turn there, verse 6. God puts love and chastisement together all through the scriptures. He also, in Proverbs, does the same. "Despise not thou the chastening of the Lord." But notice Hebrews 12, verse 6. "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth." So notice, he's connecting love and chastisement there. "And scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." God chastises out of love, just like parents do the same with their children. They chastise out of love. And God here is teaching his children in advance, because they haven't just got to this point yet, but he's teaching them in advance. If you choose, as my children, to disobey my word, which they did, I will remove you from this land that I've promised you. And that's exactly what occurred. Another verse is Revelation 3:19. If you want to turn there, he's talking to the churches. And he reminds us, again, that out of love, he chastises his children. Notice Revelation 3:19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. So right at the outset, first time God is telling Israel that he's treated them how he has and pulled them out of Egypt because of love, he tells them in advance, because I love you, I will chastise you if you need it. And he says the same to us, doesn't he? We just read Hebrews 12 and Revelation 3. But he also teaches that the purpose of the chastisement in love is to bring about repentance. And it's still true in our lives, isn't it? It's to bring us to the point where we recognize that God is working in our lives, calling us back home, and using his chastisement to do it. And we find that in the scriptures as well. Most of us know the what they call the revival verse, 2 Chronicles 7:14. But let's look there quickly. 2 Chronicles 7:14. This is when Solomon is dedicating the temple. And God, again, tells them in advance what will happen if they get taken away for sin, how they can get restored to God. And he says here, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. So four things there. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And God sends this message over and over again to his people. Look at Hosea 6, chapter 6, verse 1, if you would. And then we'll look at a New Testament scripture. God chastises his children out of love, but his end goal in chastising is repentance in his children, that they would repent of their sin, of their disobedience, and come back to, as he says, a merciful God. Hosea 6, come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us, he hath smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day, he will raise us up and we shall live in his sight. So God's goal is always that man, that his children return if they have strayed, that they come back. And if they will come back, look at Isaiah 55. God promises to forgive. And as he said here later on, that's mercy. Amen. That's the mercy of God. Isaiah 55. Verse 6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And he will let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. So notice mercy. Mercy to the repentant, which is exactly what he's telling Israel here in advance. Back in verse 31, let's look at it, Deuteronomy 4. It says in parentheses, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God. Amen? And if it wasn't for the mercy of God, we wouldn't be saved, would it? Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. So God making this promise to the children that he loves, that in love, if they disobey, he will chastise. And we see the same in David. God chastised David for his sin with Bathsheba with the intent of what? Bringing about repentance, which is exactly what happened. Read Psalm 51. It's a psalm of repentance for his sin with Bathsheba. But what brought that about? God's chastisement with him losing the child. And when that happens, when we do come and repent, what does God do but forgive? Because he's a merciful God. David, if you look at Psalm 119 in verse 71, David acknowledged this, that God had used chastisement to bring him back to God. Psalm 119, look down in verse 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. So what's he saying? That I drifted away from God. And we know that he did. God recorded it for us in his word. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. And then God afflicted me. And what? But now have I kept thy word. And again, Psalm 51 is that process. God recorded it for us. Let's look at it quickly, just pieces of it. But God's end goal in bringing chastisement into his children's lives, because of his love for us, is to bring us to repentance for disobedience to his word. Have mercy, verse 1, upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Have mercy, first two words, have mercy. God says, I'm a merciful God. When you repent, I will show mercy. But it has to be repentance, right? Verse 4, against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. That's repentance. Lord, I was wrong. I'm not trying to make excuses. And I sinned against you. And then what does he say? In verse 10, create in me a clean heart. Amen. Verse 12, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy way, and so forth. So God is teaching his children in way in advance, for the disobedience begins in the promised land. Remember, the promised land represented the victorious Christian life. Once we start living the victorious Christian life, that doesn't mean that it's perpetual. We can still start living the victorious Christian life and backslide and sin and disobey God. And when that happens, what does he do but chastise his children with the end goal of repentance? And when we repent, he shows mercy. So let's go back to our passage here. And he explains that everything he's done in their lives up to this point is because he's love, a loving God. Amen? Look at it, verse 37. And because he loved thy fathers, therefore he chose their seed after them and brought thee out in his sight with his mighty power out of Egypt. We all acknowledge we're going to heaven because of the love of God. Amen? For God so loved the world. We love him because he first loved us. We're here because God loved. And he showed that and displayed that love at Calvary. Amen? But we're talking Israel here. And if you go to Deuteronomy 7, God explains that his love, Deuteronomy 7, 7, his love is a special love, a love that we have a hard time understanding sometimes, and that is because God, when God loves unconditionally. Notice Deuteronomy 7, 7. The Lord did not set his love upon you nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the land of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. God doesn't love us because we're lovely. Amen? He loves us because he's love. We don't deserve his love. Never have. If you go to 1 John 4, we'll see this. And we're going to heaven because of his love. Once we are his children, out of love, he will chastise if we disobey, if we drift away from his commands. And the purpose of the chastisement is to bring repentance, as we see in this chapter. And when we do repent, God always shows, as we see, mercy. 1 John 4, look down in verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth God, not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, Because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Notice that word manifested. It means be displayed or showed to the world. Verse 10, herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. So as we saw there in Deuteronomy, we see here in 1 John, God's love is unconditional. Hallelujah. It's undeserved. He said to Israel, I didn't choose you and love you because of who you are. I did because of who I am. And it's still true today for us as Christians. So back to our passage. He says here in verse 39, know therefore this day and consider it in thine heart that the Lord, he is God. In heaven above and upon the earth beneath, there is none else. He's warning them. You're going to go into the promised land. There's going to be nations there worshiping other gods, worshiping idols, worshiping false gods. Don't ever forget that I am the only God. Remember, the first two commandments are about God is the only God. And then God reveals. He is a loving God. He chastises out of love to bring us to repentance that he might show mercy. But then he reveals how we show love to him. And we all know the answer to that, don't we? Verse 40, thou shalt keep therefore his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee this day. Look at this next phrase, that it may go well with thee. I want to bless you, but I can't bless you unless you obey. That is the theme throughout Scripture, isn't it? Look at Deuteronomy 28. We'll get there eventually. We're only in chapter 4. But again, God all through the Scriptures equates obedience with blessings. And for us, obedience is how we love God. But notice Deuteronomy 28 verse 1. And it shall come to pass if, so that's a big if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and to do all his commandments. It's obedience. Which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if, there it is again, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. And then he spends verse after verse telling all the blessings that he will pour out upon his children. But this covenant isn't like the one we looked at in Sunday school. That one was on, those were unconditional. This one's conditional, isn't it? Has an if statement. If, one thing, obey. If you will obey my commandments, all these blessings. And then, like I say, this is one of the longest chapters in the Bible, Deuteronomy 28. It has, what, 68 verses. That's a long, and some of the verses are big. And the whole chapter is first all the blessings that he'll pour out for those that obey, and all the curses, that he'll pour out for those who disobey. That's Deuteronomy 28. Now we go to Luke 11, if you want to turn to the New Testament. And Jesus says a similar thing, that God wants to bless, but many of the blessings are contingent upon our obedience. Yes, he's a loving God. Yes, all that he's done for us is out of love, and his love is unconditional. But as a father, when we disobey, we have to be chastised to bring repentance and his mercy. Notice Luke 11:27. And it came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou hast sucked. But he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. He said, you want to talk about blessings? Blessed are they that hear the word and what? Keep it. Obey it. That's the blessings. Amen? To obey is better than sacrifice. Remember Samuel said that to Saul? To hearken is more important than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, he said, 1 Samuel 15, 22 and 23. And we get to the New Testament, John 14. And Jesus makes it very clear that he loves us. He's already made that very clear, and he will make it even more clear when he dies at Calvary. But he makes it also very clear how we can love him, the one who loved us enough to give us a new family, to make us his child, so that he can be our father, is the one who loves us enough to chastise us, to bring us to repentance, that he might show mercy. But what does he want above all else? It's not complicated, is it? John 14:15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Amen? If you love me, keep my commandments. Notice, which verse is it? The opposite is also true. Down in verse... Now I lost it. Anyway, there's a verse in this same chapter that says if we disobey, that we love him not. But I can't find it. Thank you, brother. I'm scanning here. There it is. Yeah, thank you. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. So there's the opposite of obedience, is disobedience. And so through obedience we show love, through disobedience we show a lack of love. And of course, 1 John 5:3, great place to finish. Let's turn there. So God, first mention, Deuteronomy 4, of his love for his children, and he immediately starts talking about chastisement. That if you disobey me, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to rip you out of the promised land. You're going to be taken captive. You're going to be spread among the other nations. But I won't completely destroy you. And if you, as my people, will repent, I will forgive because I'm merciful. And I one day will return you back to the land that I promised you, which has yet to happen, but it will. But 1 John 5:3, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. Such a common theme, isn't it? I mean, here we are in Deuteronomy 4, and what does God say? Keep my statutes, keep my commandments, and I'll bless you. We get to the New Testament, and Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. God is a loving Father, and if we choose to disobey his commandments, he, out of love, as he said in Revelation 3:19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Chastisement is to bring about repentance. When we do that, he shows mercy and he forgives, and we carry on serving God. All of this, he says, all of this because he loved. When we get to the New Testament, all of this, our Christianity, our home in heaven, all of it because he loved. Amen. For God so loved. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful truth, this reminder that you are a loving and a merciful Father who chastises disobedient children. And Lord, may we understand that when that comes into our lives, that we need to respond with repentance, making things right, that you might show mercy and get us back on the path. So, Lord, may we understand how important it is that we keep your commandments, all of them, and live the life that you've called us to live. Thank you for your love that brought us to where we are in Christ, in our future home in heaven. May we return that love through obedience. Thank you for speaking to our hearts. We love you so much. In Jesus' name we pray.